this club's about winning trophies. I'm inexperienced in a lot of those things.
Can you believe it?
Almost lost the cup and you win it. The new European champions, the treble, the dream come true for you.
Oh, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Football, bloody hell. But they never give in. That's the winner.
Welcome to the American Red Devils podcast. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And we are bringing you the best Manchester United news from this side of the pond.
Sir, how you doing? How you doing? Oof, tough draw at the Molyneux Stadium. Wolves away is becoming a fixture that I hate hearing, sir.
I mean, they have our number. Last year, we couldn't do the business. This year, I mean, amazing strike from Neves. Probably should have bought him so he didn't get one against us. And then you know that penalty that did not convert Paul P. Who's up for penalties, sir? I have no idea.
Say it ain't so. Tell me we're not talking about the penalty already. But Neves, sir, that's a player that we should have bought. He would easily go for $100 million now on the open market, I would think.
Yeah, and look, the boys improved. Probably the best performance against Wolves to date, including last season after they pipped us in the FA Cup. That was kind of the end of our magical run under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. But respect to the lads, I think Ole took some risks starting Dan James. It paid off. I think tale of two halves, sir. You know, looked great in the first half. Second kind of faded. I mean, what were your thoughts?
Hey, but they're that typical Wolves side. They're going to counter you with that high press. They're hard to break down, like you spotted out. A lot of wing play, a lot of corners. But, you know, there was a lot of reliance on our number 10 in this game, and he did not have the best performance, Jesse Lingard. He was involved in the first goal, the only goal. but he wasn't that creative outlet that we need, sir, especially if you're playing McTominay and Pogba in a two.
Hey, we call them City Light for a reason. They're a well-organized side. They play that medium block with zonal pressing. It was really tough for us to get any attack going through the middle of the pitch. And, you know, you have 66% of the ball, only two shots on target. We just lack the quality to break down a side that said, hey, we're going to sit here, we're going to defend, break us down. And they did switch their tactics in the second half. They kind of risked a little more. They pressed. They came at us. And you saw the set pieces that led to their goal eventually. But look, Manchester United, young side, we got to build upon this result. I mean, some people might say, hey, glass half full. Rather take the draw away at Wolves today. Focus on, you know, what we can work on. Don't let the boys get too don't let the hype train get too full, sir.
You got to have some high expectations of these boys. I mean, it's an improvement from last year, and it's still a point. But I was a little disappointed not to see Ole switch things up more quickly after they got that equalizer and after we didn't score the penalty. It seemed like the subs took way too long.
I mean, we'll get into the nitpicking, the Ole, the penalties. But, sir, you know, this podcast is for fans by fans. Yes, that's right. We are the American Red Devils. We have no one is paying us money, advertisers, anything like that. We are just spitting our points of view, and we're soliciting your points of view as well through Twitter and other social media. So the best way to support us, sir, considering we're just in a bunker right now, not as hot as last podcast.
It's cooled down a little bit in the bay. We're literally in our room off my garage. We got merch custom made that we are doing because we know that fans of this podcast, people that are interested in American Red Devils, Manchester United, fans of the greatest club in the history of football, want to support the Banter Brothers from New Jersey. spitting these hot bands out of the bay these days, sir.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's kind of what our thought process was, like, hey, this season we're going to sell some ads. And I actually was listening to some other football podcast out there in the iTunes universe, and the ads really kind of break things up. And then I thought about myself trying to sell things that I really don't care about, and the advertisers probably wouldn't like that. So we decided to go, we're going full OG route. There's no reason why we can't. We can afford this operation as it stands. So look, we thought, let's make some cheeky merch. You guys buy it. All the money goes directly into the audio equipment, us hosting this podcast, everything. So we're doing completely organically. We have no outside influence. So we can say whatever we want about the Glazers, whatever we want about worldsoccershop.com. Don't go there. Terrible website, et cetera. So, and look, if you don't have the dollars to pony up for some American Devils merch, even though we have stickers only on sale for $1.50, or a pin if you want that as well, just write a review on iTunes. That's how we're found. We're a small-time podcast, just growing from the roots. So it's going to be slow quality growth over time is what we're focused on. Write a review on iTunes, shoot it to us at AmericanRedDevils@gmail.com, and we'll send you a sticker in the mail for free. Great deal. And I think a win-win on all fronts.
We're grassroots football, just like Ole's trying to do with this Manchester United team. Go slow, Don't get ahead of yourself.
Exactly.
And just build from the back.
Yeah. And don't get fired by the Glazers. Thankfully, we don't have any bosses. Well, let's jump into the match. Enough housekeeping for you guys. Look, we appreciate you if you're listening right now. Hell of a match, sir. Wolverhampton Wanderers FC, a.k.a. Wolves versus Manchester United. 1-1, the draw. I did mention if I was a betting man, you bet the draw because this had draw written all over it, considering I thought Wolves would pack the box as they did at the Molineux Stadium. The lineup, sir, Ole, 4-2-3-1. Seems like you're going to be seeing a lot of this. Dave saves in net. Shaw, Maguire, Lindelof, and the truth, Juan Bissaka. The two-man midfield with McTominay, Pogba, Rashford, Lingard in the hole, big surprise. James on the right wing, another big surprise. And then Martial, the number nine up top. What did you think about this lineup when it came out?
Sir, that's a pretty decent starting 11, especially with the players we have at our disposal. I was excited, looking for a midfield three. I thought Lingard would have dropped a little deeper, which he did not. But hey, this is a team that we need to break down. I thought you'd see Mata eventually. Saw him a little late. Okay. I mean, who do you want to see, sir? You want to see Greenwood?
So I tweeted out my lineup. Pereira, no reason to drop him.
No, I agree.
Absolutely no reason to drop Pereira in the hole. He did a job. He did the dirty work that Pogba didn't want to do, allowed Pogba to get forward, and he had that great assist. Don't know why you bench him for Jesse Lingard playing the hole. In theory, I think Jesse Lingard, it looks sexy in that position. The number 14, I know he's fast. He can play a winger or he can play number 10, but I had the feeling that he just doesn't come off when you keep starting him. He's got to be benched, then brought in. Like Strox always did. If you don't perform, get on the bench, then come in. You'll have the X factor, right?
Yeah, he got benched against Chelsea, but he didn't. He was probably the surprise feature in this starting 11, yeah, especially because after how well Pereira played. He's a pit bull running around the whole pitch against Chelsea. So to see Lingard get picked in front of him, I think part of it's like you want it to come off. It's that front four that you expect on paper to be your starting front four because he's English. He's going to play with Rashford.
Lingard's like, I'll believe it when I see it. That's the way I think about Jesse Lingard. I
mean,
he really is a bench player right now at best. He can go on runs and he can show you. I mean, he did play very well, but hasn't come off of late for Manchester United and all the antics. I'm going to say you bench him. And then Daniel James, I thought this was like a little too much too soon for Daniel James. He did look good when he came on, but I thought Greenwood on the right wing would probably be a little more of a threat, mainly because you need that trickery, someone who has the ball when they're in the final third to beat a man and break somebody down. Dan James has the pace. He has the work rate. I don't know if he has the product in the box like Greenwood would have.
Well, Greenwood's a little untested. I think James was next in line. I think he played very well in this game. They hacked the shit out of him for most of it. So that's an indication of how he offers that threatening pace, which is just lightning fast.
Yeah, but he got hacked, lost the ball, and then we didn't get a foul.
Yeah, well, they got like an overweight ref calling the game.
It's
kind of
like welcome to the league, you know, a little bit for Dan James. Hey, he played well. He did play well.
So he played much better than Lingard did.
Well, if you look at a Martial and a Rashford, and then that's when you look at Dan James, he's clearly a different player. But if you look at Martial, Rashford, and Greenwood up top, the way those would be able to play 1-2s, be in the box, Greenwood could cut in, play number 9, beat a man. I just thought that dynamic would be better, as well as having Pereira at number 10. So I do think Ole, we'll get into the match, but I do think this starting 11, the two Lingard James, I did think that wasn't the right call from the manager going into the game. And you can see it didn't work out too well.
Well, fair enough. I think once we got our legs underneath us at the beginning of the game, we kind of fell into position and it looked pretty good from the beginning.
So jumping in first half, good start from United. I mean, this was like possession, press, very hard from United right out of the gate, exactly what you're going to see at Wolves. We thought we could create some chances by some loose balls, kind of getting pinged around, Pogba picking it up. This was like kind of the way you and me play FIFA, just like all in, everybody going at every single ball, full tilt. 18th minute, great chance for Manchester United. Rashford whips in a great cross, but Martial couldn't get on the end of it. This one probably should have been 1-0. And, you know, I think Martial, he jumped and couldn't
forgot to use his head, I think. I mean, I think that is a born header right there. I hate to say it, but that's like textbook Romelu Lukaku, just like slam dunker. Martial could have done better, should have done better, but hey, he had a goal a little bit later, sir, that certainly made up for it.
24th minute, Dan James, welcome to the league. He's booked for diving here. And, you know, I kind of felt like on the right wing, he was playing well with Juan Bissaka. The tack was mostly focused on the left-hand side. So I think Dan James was just meant to terrorize him and Juan Bissaka doing 1-2s down the right wing, maybe get a ball in. If you notice, most of the passes from the left wing were into the box, and from the right wing, it was out to the right. So they didn't have as much of a direct attack on the right-hand side with Dan James coming in.
They did, and a lot of the pressure was going through that right-hand channel, but you have to be said that that Wolves team is hard to break down. They play a very, very solid, a high press. They're one of the probably the top defensive teams in the league at this point, right? They've got to be top six, I would think, better than Arsenal.
I mean, they're organized. They look better organized than United did when Chelsea came to Old Trafford and tried to hit us in the mouth, sir. And we didn't have to wait too long. The boys had some promising attacks and a beauty from Tony Marshall.
How Burnley suffered from their Europa League exertions last year. Here's Rashford, and there's Martial, who spears Manchester United into the lead. A finish without compromise. Another proper number nine's goal for Anthony Martial.
That is wonderful from Manchester.
That's how you call a goal.
Tony Marshall, dude, 2-2, sir. I mean, he's looking sharp. Hell of a finish. I mean, his left, like that left boot.
Straight off the training ground. I mean, some great link-up play to lead to the chance. And then Tony doing what Tony does as number nine was just a rocket of a finish. Almost the one he had at Fulham when we went last year, sir. But just an absolute blistering goal.
He has one chance to put that in the net. And it's unbelievable he was able to. I mean, head down. Ooh. Like, whew, he's wearing the number nine. He's playing in the number nine role. I thought that should be Rashford's role. But look, when he's scoring goals like that, he's really showing you what he's capable of. And Tony Marshall came from France. Some people in the English press said he had no chance.
But that's a tidy goal, and that's probably one of the nicest looking goals that we've scored under Ole. If you actually look at the link up, obviously he scored, you know, hit the hell out of it. But that's the kind of attack that you need to be breaking down a team like Wolves that's as good and as strong at the back and in midfield defensively as they are. So you need to be direct and you need to be fast and clinical. And we showed that we have the ability to do that. And then we kind of sat back after this goal a little bit and let them have more of the ball.
Yeah, and then another great opportunity for Manchester United right before the half. Tony Marshall came onto the ball. It was the keeper kind of played it wrong and unfortunately got caught in his feet. He couldn't finish it, but I did think that was 2-0, sir. It was very close.
Could have used a second goal for sure because, like I said, this is a team that makes it hard to get goals, especially when they give you a penalty. You definitely want to finish those.
As always, sir, jumping in halftime, what were your thoughts? Any tactics, any subs from Ole? What were you seeing?
I mean, I was thinking that, okay, this is the exact kind of situation that our team wants to be in after investing all this money in a back four. You have a one-goal lead. You can kind of sit back and then use that fast counterattack that you have to punish them once they're pressing forward. So I was looking forward to showing off our back four, and I think we had a chance to.
Yeah, this is one of those where Wolves are dangerous, and I actually didn't think we needed to change much, but the thing is that Wolves decided to change a lot. They made a sub, and at the end of the first half, they decided, look, we need to go forward. We need to press more. We need to be at Manchester United's jugular. And that really kind of took us by surprise. We thought Wolves would come out, do the same thing, the medium block, really five at the back, and they actually started pressing us high because they wanted to get Luke Shaw. He was getting way too far forward, Wan-Bissaka as well, and they pinned us back. They actually showed us that they were here to play and that they create a lot of set piece opportunities from that.
And when we get the ball, we gave the ball away so cheaply. You know, it was reminiscent a little bit of starts and stops in the first half of the Chelsea game, where you just, like, you don't know what to do with it. You're so excited about having the ball and attacking with pace that you just give it away for nothing.
Yeah, we weren't used to the pressure that all of a sudden they turned on, and we were kind of shook. And that's in the 54th minute. Jimenez hits the post. De Gea, nothing to do. He actually, like, came back, hit his arm, barely missed the goal. That should have been a goal as well. But unfortunately, we did, by the hair on our chin, in the 54th. But that corner that came as a result, not too lucky, sir.
We didn't have another to wait dimension.
Coutinho, Jota. Coutinho with pace. And Ruben Neves! That is a gem! My word, what a goal!
I mean, my word, what a goal. Unfortunately, not from a Manchester United player. And, you know, when we had that much of the ball and we were kind of dominating, that we couldn't really adapt to that change at halftime. looked shook, and this set piece pretty tricky. Played it short, came back, drew the defenders in. Neves barely had a shot with the window of time he had, and he got it off. Unbelievable.
I mean, it was a cracker. It was an absolute worldie of a shot, but it's not unfair to say that this was coming. I mean,
bar down, sir. Bar down. Hit the bottom of the bar.
It was coming. They were the better team in the second half, and you needed to see that adjustment from Ole a little earlier, right?
This is already. Yeah.
We'll talk about what happens next, but going into the 66th minute, sir, we did have a pretty good chance to take a lead.
From who?
Pulpy.
That's a lovely exchange, and Pogba has gone over Konakone, and it is a penalty. Nor does the Wolves skipper protest.
Well, that tells you all you need to know. Well, this is wonderful from Pogba, absolutely brilliant. This is what you want to see from a player like Paul Pogba, grabbing the game by the scruff of the neck. You think there's nowhere to go. Use his strength to get past Jimenez. Plays a wonderful 1-2 with Martial, and then just completely deceives Cody. As you can quite rightly say.
I mean, Pogba, game changer, earns the pen by himself, but unfortunately, he was the one who grabbed the ball.
Paul Pogba. Power but no precision.
Power but no precision. Paul Pogba misses the penalty. 1-1. Tough time, sir.
We're not the camp that's going to like demand a player's head for missing the penalty. I think Paul actually had a very good game. He created the penalty to begin with. But that being said, there should be a delegation of powers and authority on this squad, right? Like there should be a known penalty taker. And Marcus Rashford, you know, after Paris, he looks like the most competent of the bunch. So I would just never break with that. But I just want to make sure that people knew that like, we're not part of the. There was a vitriol spread at Paul Pogba. After this miss, and sir, it's four in a year and a half. It's to be expected. I assumed he was going to miss.
It's a four in a year. The penalty run up his, like, let's put it this way: of all the, you know, we've seen a lot of penalty takers at Manchester United in 15 years. I've been a fan of the club. You know, Wayne Rooney was a good penalty taker, but I wasn't too confident when he was taking them. RVP. You know, there's certain players that even like a Wayne Rooney, I was nervous when he was taking them.
He missed some big ones.
He had a better record than Paul P. I mean, that's when you get to Pogba, it's like I'm flipping a coin almost. Some of them have gone in off the keeper. I mean, his run up, whatever it is, the way that Rashford takes, I'm much more comfortable. It's kind of like a Ronaldo. You just pick it, you look at the ball, you just sky it top corner every time on a rope. I much prefer that. So look,
a la Marcus Rashford, bro. It's like, I think he picked that up from other players in the game. You just smash it where they can't go.
And the one thing we learned from Sir Alex Ferguson was it's your penalty duty until you miss, and then somebody else.
Until you miss.
I love that because it's, look, Rashford, you made it. You're up until you miss. You miss, it goes to Pogba. Pogba misses, it goes to Martial. Martial misses, it probably goes back to Rashford. Yeah,
exactly.
You know what I'm saying? It just seems to me that the idea of if you got to ride the streak. And Rashford, I would have bet a lot on him not missing that pen. And at the end of the day, it costs us 3 points. But it's the second game, so everyone fuming. Look, it's a tough taste in your mouth. When you go away to Wolves, we play well. We have the penalty, and we miss it. I mean, it wasn't a terrible pen anyway. It wasn't the best one, but it
wasn't the worst of his bunch. He's missed some worse ones.
Yeah,
he hit it hard, but he hit it in a very savable way. But that being said, he created a lot of good in this game. He was one of our better players. I'm not going to damn Paul Pogba because he missed a penalty, but now you have to make a decision. Ole has to be like, yo, dude, Marcus Rashford is on penalties, like you said, until he misses it, and then probably Martial's up.
Yeah,
because you just need to pick someone.
We'll get into the Ole's involvement later when we get into the presser, but let's finish up this match. 81st minute, like you said, I think the subs were a little too late here. Even after the penalty save, you probably needed to make the change because, you know, Wolves were going to get some momentum from that. 81st minute, Mata for Lingard. That was way too late. And then 89th, double sub. Greenwood and Pereira replaced Rashford and James. I think unfair to take Rashford off. But, you know, that was the match, 1-1. We drew Wolves. It's away. I mean, you can't underestimate Monday night away at the Molineux. That's going to be a tough match.
Hey, we got it out of the way. We got a point. It's not the best result in the world, but we're building on something. Better result than last year. And, you know, we could have gotten a victory in this game with a little trickery from Paul Pogba. But, hey, I'm not going to dwell on that because we're moving forward. We got the Eagles next, sir. Yeah.
Jumping to the match reaction, possession, Wolves 34% of the ball to Manchester United 66%. And this is the thing about Manchester United that I've called out this past summer. And, you know, looking at Chelsea, is it's good that when we can counterattack teams, well, what happens when it's Burnley away, you know, and you got to break down 10 men behind the ball. And that is when you need that for even for a City, that's hard, even for Liverpool. With their front three, that's a very difficult task to do when you go to lower opposition and they're going to defend. And that's going to be the difference between us being fourth, third, second, or first, right? And when you see us play against Wolves, we did play well. But next stat, two shots on targets for Wolves, two shots on targets for Manchester United. Not enough out of the boys.
Think about it. It goes both ways, but the magic that you needed to even score against them in the first place, that Martial goal was like a top draw goal.
Exactly.
That was only overshadowed because Neves scored an even prettier goal. So it takes quite a bit. Both teams kind of play in a similar style these days defensively. You know, the high press and the counterattacking style. That's going to be marquee of like what we're looking at in the Premier League these days. I think everyone's going to try and emulate the same kind of playing style.
Yeah, but when, you know, when you're playing against a team like that who's going to defend, you got to be able to break them down. And that comes down to that attacking force, Lingard being the key weakness there. A lot of people slating him online. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has failed to win any of his four games in all competitions against Wolves. They've drawn one, lost three. They're the side he's faced most without winning in his managerial career. Sir, which, you know,
finally got a point, Cardiff, sir. Well, finally got a point. We're turning around.
The average age of United's starting 11 was 24 years and 173 days, the youngest in the Premier League this season and their youngest in the competition since the final day of the 2016-17 campaign. 22 years, 284 days versus Crystal Palace. And clearly that was a throwaway match. So you're seeing a real investment in youth, and I think all Manchester United fans really believe in Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's effort to find out who is going to bleed red, right? I mean, everyone bleeds red, but, you know,
who's going to be a proper Manc and carry the flag
exactly
going forward?
That,
and
that's, I think that's what we care about.
There's some real talent in this squad. I think Dan James is a player that's going to get better and better. The Omar Moussaka is, but let's keep going. Premier League referee Jonathan Mayes has shown 12 cards for diving in the competition since the start of the 2017-18 campaign, which is double the amount of any other referee. He's also one of the most overweight refs, which I never understood how you could be overweight and be a ref when you're expected to run up and down.
John Moss, sir.
Is that what I said?
Yeah, you said John Mayes.
John Mayes, not John Mays.
And Martial scored with the very first shot in this match, becoming the 53rd player to score 50 goals in all competitions for United. So, I mean, that is a hell of a milestone for Martial. I don't think he's getting the love he deserves. Even I doubted him in the number nine role, but the fact that he's playing there and him and Rashford really love that left-hand side. Rashford played in what a weighted pass into Rashford played the ball.
It was an unbelievable
ball. I mean, unbelievable.
Should have hit it with his head and would have scored, but he did make up for it because he had an unbelievable goal about 10 minutes later.
And, sir, when it comes to the penalties and our manager, you know, what is your feeling on Ole? Should he have the, you know, order set up? I mean, he told the press, I mean, we'll get to the press conference in a second, but he told the press that they're both taking penalties. Do you believe that? What do you think about that whole situation?
I mean, that sounds kind of wishy-washy. Like, I would imagine Paul gets first pick unless Paul doesn't want to have first pick and until he delegates it otherwise to the other players in the squad to pick up for him. But someone has got to be the appointed penalty taker, just so it is known. It should be like known the same way that a free kick taker is known, who's taking the corners is known. The guy who takes the penalty should be the same player, and it should be whoever scored the last one. The last one happened to be by Marcus Rashford while Paul Pogba was on the field. So there's no real excuse in that raid.
Yeah, no, and it seems like there's something at play here from the manager. I don't know if he's telling the truth. I don't know why he would not tell the truth, but let's hear it from the man himself, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
It's good. Is that an issue you're going to have to address now?
Not at all. The two of them are confident and good penalty takers, and I've been in that situation myself, gone up and missed a penalty for Norway. And when there's two names there, it's the one who's the most confident, and Paul scored so many before, so absolutely no problem. Say again? Doesn't have to be, no. Yeah, because sometimes in a game you do grow in confidence. Sometimes I don't want to take it today because I've had a bad day. Absolutely no problem with players walking up saying, this is mine.
Ole, Nuno just said that he's worried that people are going to be afraid to celebrate goals What's your take on the length of the decision taking? It takes 1 minute and 59 seconds on the VAR.
Yeah, it's come to we want it decided quickly, but of course it's massive decisions, because if Jimenez is maybe half a yard to the right, he's blocking David's view. Who was it? Moutinho, he could have been 20 centimetres more to the right. He could have been offside when he got the ball back. So it's a big decision. So I'd rather have it the correct one than the wrong one and make it in 15 seconds. But the quicker it goes, the better, of course.
Another great comment on VAR as well. The decision system, it's kind of something we're going to have to get used to, right? And they will perfect it over time. But it's just first season, it's tough.
I think they're blowing it, sir. My
really?
Feeling is that it takes...
Why?
Just the length of play. If this continues, that they're drawing out all of the decision-making. Once you have a goal that you can now have it taken away if it inadvertently touches someone's arm in the buildup. So they're going to break down every goal, every close decision, every close offside is now going to be scrutinized. And it's a slippery slope, mate. We saw this with football, becoming a fan of the NFL, and just how that's changed over 15, 20 years. It's just, it changes, and it just keeps going, man. And eventually they'll have commercial, eventually just they'll stop some play, because they're going to, it just the beginning of something that's not good.
Yeah, the one thing that I don't like about it, that, when we saw in Paris, the infamous handball, is, VAR says to the referee, hey, you might want to take a look at this referee. The referee himself goes to... the video booth and watches it himself, and then he makes the decision. So in the EPL, it's up to the people in the booth to make the call and to overrule the referee. And Gary Neville made a great point on Monday Night Football, which is that guy in the booth is a junior referee. So when is he going to overrule, the top referees in the league who are on the pitch? It doesn't make sense to me, because at the end of the day, the referee on the pitch should review it, because they're trying to speed it up. They don't want him to see the video.
Or you can
it
just
doesn't
have,
make sense.
You have a senior referee looking at the video as well. Why would you have a junior?
Well, the best referees are on the field, unfortunately, and then
the
second best are on the touchline. And then the riffraff like us are in the box.
Or John Mays looks like he should be in the box, bro.
Just sitting. No, and it's one of those things where we're going to see, there's going to be some howlers. It's going to be hysterical. I hope it affects Chelsea or one of our rivals. I hope it doesn't come down to us and we're like complaining about VAR, but it is something that they're trying to get right, and it's new. We're just going to have to adjust to it. But getting back to the pen, I don't really care about who should take it. I just care about Ole's. He's the manager. He's the boss. He's got to have a better system. It's kind of one of those things where in any company, any business, the best system is going to make everyone perform the best. And right now, it sounds like it's like, after watching the Chelsea penalty decision, it looked like Martial had a word. Looks like Pogba had a word. It looks to me like it's completely them deciding, which is, I think as a manager, that should be his decision. The team should not be responsible for, just yipping at each other on the pitch of who gets to take it. And like right now, Gary Neville said on Monday Night Football, like it looks like whoever gets fouled and is closest to the ball is going to get the pen. And that doesn't make sense for Manchester United. This isn't Sunday League. This is Manchester United. It should be Rashford's until he misses and then move on from there. I do have to blame Ole there. If there was any blame, it's not Paul P. It's Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
I would agree, because it's not just two names, because like you said, Martial was on that list last weekend and he started both games. So there's not just a short list. It's basically who's closest, who caused it, and who was directly involved in the goal, which isn't a bad thing, right? You could tell Pogba was heating up in that second half trying to make an impact. But I think he still wanted to defer to the guy who just scored a penalty, a week ago?
Yeah, no, it makes me nervous as a fan whenever like somebody grabs the ball and then somebody's talking to him, and it's like the last thing you want to be thinking about when you're about to step up and take a penalty. Not like I've ever been a professional soccer player, but
not even close.
You almost want to have it be like, it's mine, and you just don't have to deal with like, all right, Paul, this time I got it, please, can I take it? And then you're dealing with that, and then you got to focus on taking the pen. No, it just seems to me like it's not what the players need or should be dealing with.
The uncertainty probably makes it worse, adds to the drama of the moment, and just it makes it more likely that someone's going to miss an actual penalty. Sorry.
Yeah, so just jumping into the quick tactics view of the match, like if you look at the, I'll tweet this out, we have the pass maps, the average positioning of Manchester United. Last week I said that the right wing was definitely... Our shape was kind of tucked in because Lingard didn't play on the right. He came in the middle and Pereira. So we really had no right wing presence. You could see Ole clearly started Daniel James in that role. Wan-Bissaka moved out wide. So we had much better shape. You could see Dan James clearly on the right wing working that channel with Wan-Bissaka. still our attack completely featured on the left-hand side through Shaw, Rashford on the overlap, and then Martial. That's kind of how we're terrorizing teams. And Wan-Bissaka and Daniel James, that we'd try the left side, and then we'd switch it wide and have them try to penetrate.
I mean, the biggest thing you see from this is the lack of penetration you're getting from Jesse Lingard of the middle. And yes, he had his chances, but yes, it seemed like give the ball away every time we go on a break.
Yeah, and when I saw Lingard, he was either too deep, or he was too short, or he was defended, and he wasn't running and creating space and getting the ball in. He had a real tough time. And look, it's not easy to play Wolves because they're such an organized side. But really, the Paul Pogba, McTominay, you can see everything came down the channels. Kind of like we talked last week, we anticipated that low block. Wan-Bissaka had the most passes, which I thought was really interesting, and the most progressive passing received was Martial. Clearly Martial, last week that was not the case, it was Rashford. Now Martial's getting forward. He's really working on being that true number nine. So you're seeing Ole, two matches in, already making those adjustments to his team, and it's looking better. Again, the one thing I thought, we just lacked the quality to break down the side. I thought a lot of times the wings, we had the chance to get an early ball.
Yeah.
Like crossing a whip ball behind the back line of Wolves. That's really how you're going to exploit these teams. But we seem to recycle possession and not really get those shots on target. There are a few that we did, but I thought that could have been a better tactic.
No, and we didn't commit enough sometimes going forward. But I would have to say that I think the defense looked, again, solid, passing from the back, playing the ball out from the back, a lot more assured than we looked a lot of the times last season with some of our center back pairings. So Maguire and Lindelof seem to be growing in confidence together, and I think they'll get better and better the more games they get under their belts.
Yeah, and one thing you'll also see is when Luke Shaw would press up, McTominay would almost flow back into left back role. It'd be like sort of a back three, and then when the left-hand attack went up, Bissaka would kind of slot back down into a back three, kind of like Kyle Walker in City. So you're starting to see we're trying to overload each channel, really focusing attacking on the left and then looking at the right when that's not available. So Ole really implementing an attacking strategy at Manchester United. I do like it. I think the players, you know, it's kind of on them for that extra piece of magic. That Rashford pass, the Martial finish, that's how we're going to score. The Pogba bit of brilliance to win the pen. And, you know, Paul Pogba, clearly the best player on the field. Whenever I saw him on the ball, he got rid of those, like, cheeky little, I want to say, flare moves. And he was all business. I thought he had a great game other than the penalty. So people lambasting Paul Pogba, I believe that's incorrect. I would blame Ole for the penalty, riff-raff. And Pogba, if you look at that game, he is our best player. He's the difference maker. He's the reason why we're going to win and lose the match. And look, he almost got the pen, but he ended up missing it. So
no doubt. And I think you look at this breakdown, you look at like where he played well, where he didn't play well. I think it's time to play Paul Pogba as your number 10, bro. He's dynamic enough, and I think Pereira and McTominay can do enough of a job as a midfield too, that like you might as well push him forward, because he's much more exciting than Lingard, much more composed on the ball, able to pick out a pass, able to hit a shot.
No, you're absolutely right. And the funny thing about when it comes to Paul P is that he would come deep to get the ball. He'd be able to move up with the ball. We lack that number 10. You like to say Dybala, you know, if we had Dybala, he'd be playing there. Mata comes in and plays there. Didn't really do too good of a job. We're missing that dynamic number 10. I look at our roster, I don't really see, I mean, Mata could be that player, but he's kind of over the hump. Definitely. Lingard should be that player, hasn't come off. So that is a role that we're missing. And I really rate Pereira there, because he might not completely unlock a defense, but you know he's going to work really hard. He's smart with the ball. He's going to be well going forward. Not as much as a Paulo Dybala would, but you know, you got to work with what you got.
Pereira, Herrera, tomato. He is our new like heir apparent, like workhorse Latin guy, though, for sure. If you looked at the performance he put in Chelsea, I think there was no reason to drop him for
Brazil,
Wolves.
Brazil,
of course, Latin America. So we should be seeing more minutes to him. I think Lingard is like the choice that makes sense on the roster, England international, but I think Pereira is going to be taking his position very shortly.
Yeah, maybe we go, maybe Alexis Sanchez, sir, but we'll get back to that. We'll get to that a little later. Sir, let's have your Daily Mail headlines tomorrow, today. Cheeky banner, what do you got?
Sir, starting with Ole, what were you waiting for? Subs in the 81st and the 89th minute when we were clearly needed a change. You lost the lead in like the 66th minute. Those subs should be coming in the 70th. I'm not exactly sure what Ole was waiting for, but it's actually happened before when we're like the tactics get interrupted mid-half and we just don't always know how to throw subs to fix the problem.
Yeah, I don't know what Greenwood's going to do in like the 88th minute. It's one of those where you bring him on in mid-70s, he's really going to have a game. I thought him for Daniel James, straight swap. I mean, give the lad a chance, even him for Martial. We need some new blood. Totally agree there. So our next headline.
The next one is Jesse moonwalk to the bench. I hate to be rough on you, but it was not a very good performance for the young lad, 26 years old, in the number 10 position. So I think it's time for him to take a seat on the bench, maybe have a Gomez or a Pereira step up and play in that position.
And he had an open volley that he just whiffed on hard, and then it bounced off.
Brutally.
I was like, that was a very terrible highlight for him. Lukaku-esque, I might call out, sir. Next headline.
And Paul, pass the reins already. Pogba has now missed 4 penalties since the start of last season. Let's face it, it's not his strength. He is a dynamic midfielder that can do almost anything, but when it gets to that penalty, let's pass to Marcus Rashford, who just like main veins ice water. That guy eats pressure for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, bro.
So I looked this up. How many penalties has Rashford missed? And this is clearly like a stat that's like, you know, it's from transfermarket.com. So it doesn't include like U18s, but how many penalties has Rashford missed?
Zero.
Zero. 6 for 6. If you look at transfermarket.com, senior United appearances, I believe there's a UEFA Junior European Cup in there as well, but he is automatic from the penalty spot. You want him in there. I think he hit penalties for the senior team against Wolfsburg. Like, I think it was Europa League. Then he had it against Paris and then against Chelsea. So why not have him be our penalty taker? When you look at Paul P, it just, and this gets to the point where if there was somebody to blame Paul Pogba for, it's just the fact that he has such the ego that he needs it and he wants to get on the score sheet. And Ole, credit to Ole Gunnar Solskjaer for just placating his ego. I mean, Mourinho fought against the ego. It went bad. But Ole actually gives Pogba what he wants. And so,
To the detriment, eventually to the detriment of the team. If you don't pick a designated goal scorer, a designated number 10, a designated player that you're going to have step up every time you get a penalty, which happens quite a bit for United because we create a lot of chances and we do get fouled a decent amount. You're going to have these kind of type of issues, sir. The fact that even Martial was trying to pull it away from Rashford last week shows that there's something wrong.
Yeah, but
and that they just need to.
It's on Ole. It's on Ole here because Ole should stand up to Paul P and say, "Hey, Pogba, you're off. Rashford's on." And so I'm going to. Everyone's blaming Pogba. At least 75% of the internet's blaming Pogba. 25% of the internet's yelling at the other. 75% of the internet. I'm going to blame Ole Gunnar Solskjaer mainly because that's poor management. You know, when it's not designated. And it's completely objective on who is doing the best in that role as a penalty taker. You got to blame the manager. And I can't really blame Ole for a lot. So glad I'm sure it'll be fixed.
We got our next match.
Who takes the next penalty?
Marcus Rashford.
I'm going to say Paul Pogba takes the next penalty.
Take that bet all day.
All right, we have a next match. And there might be another penalty in that game. Manchester United versus Crystal Palace at home. Old Trafford, sir.
There you go.
Saturday, August 24th at 7 a.m. Cannot wait. Got to get this draw behind me. Short turnaround because, you know, we kicked off on Monday. We're going to kick off on Saturday. So a little less time for the boys to prep. Against Crystal Palace, lifetime, we've played 21-16, drawn 4, and lost 0. So we are just completely murking Crystal Palace. You never know.
No.
They're due, sir. They're due. You did go to Crystal Palace versus Manchester United away at Selhurst Park.
Got to see Aaron Wan-Bissaka in the flesh. Way back then, he was a hell of a player, sir. But, sir, this is a team that we should easily dispose of. Look at that record. It's not like that for a reason.
Zaha's there.
We had their number, mate. Zaha doesn't want to be there. Still playing there, poor guy.
Hey, watch out for him against former opposition. He usually steps up. Last time we played, we won 3-1 on the road. Lukaku with the brace. Clearly Lukaku. We're going to be missing those goals. And last time we played at home, finished at a 0-0 draw. So not exactly what we're looking for. CPFC, they were founded at the famous Crystal Palace exhibition building in 1905, and they played their home games at the FA Cup Final Stadium, which was situated inside the historic Palace grounds. The club were forced to leave the Palace in 1915 due to the outbreak of the First World War, and they played at the Herne Hill Velodrome and the Nest until 1924 when they moved to their current home, Selhurst Park. A lot of history from the South London club, and
no doubt.
I've been to a home game there against Arsenal. It's a great stadium, great atmosphere. If you're looking for a Manchester United game to go to away, it's in London, so it's convenient to get to on the train, and it's absolutely a great stadium, great away atmosphere. I do like Crystal Palace because they usually have some hysterical managers running through that club.
And they got a decent meat pie as well.
Decent meat pie, so your favorite. Jumping in the physio room, Eric Bertrand. Bye, you know, Merry Christmas. He's out with that knee injury, as he always is. Timothy Fosu-Mensah keeping it. Fosu Mensah, knee injury as well, no return date. And Alexis Sanchez, he is just stacking too many $100 bills, sir. He does not have time to play football. He's just printing all that money. I want to say £8.4 million per goal for Manchester United. The amount of money we've paid him is insane. But, you know, that's just a Glazer problem, sir. It's not my problem. Booking, the bookies looking at the betting side of things. Crystal Palace plus 844. I mean, wow, we are the big dogs here, minus 264 and the draw plus 405. I would not be touching this with a 10-foot pole. I think we're going to be beating Crystal Palace very easily, and minus 264, that's not good enough.
It's a little steep for me.
Sir, give me your starting lineup. Who is going to get the job done against Crystal Palace?
Sir, number one in the league, Dave Saves in net. I'm going to have a back four. Who else? Aaron Wan-Bissaka, a.k.a. the Spider, Lindelof, Maguire, and Luke Shaw, and then a midfield three. Here at three, not two. Let's do three. Of McTominay, Pereira, and Pogba, and then a front three of Rashford, Dan James, and Tony Martial came from France.
All right, sir. I'm going to do the 4-2-3-1. De Gea in net, Bissaka, Lindelof, Maguire, Shaw, McTominay, Pogba. That's the midfield two. Pereira, Rashford, Greenwood, and Martial in the number nine role. So I would love to see Greenwood start on the right to see how he looks compared to Daniel James. I think he's going to be a little more dynamic in the one-on-one situation when he is in the final third. Maybe not be able to beat a man for pace like Daniel James can. But for whatever reason, I have a feeling Daniel James and Ole Gunnar Solskjaer really like each other. I think he's a fanboy. Ole is, and I think Dan James is going to get a lot more starts.
He's a good lad. I think he's got a high work rate. Reminds me of Pereira. They just run all over the place. He's super fast. But you know who's going to have a big game in this upcoming match is Aaron Wan-Bissaka against Zaha, bro. That right wing. Left wing, right back position is going to be a fun battle to watch all game.
Yeah, and Crystal Palace is going to be playing with the 4-4-2, so they're going to be, again, hard to break down at home. I think it's going to be similar to a Wolves. The quality not quite there. We did acquire Wan-Bissaka from them. They still have Van Aanholt, Townsend, and obviously Benteke and Ayew. So look for Benteke and Maguire matchup there. Wilfred Zaha has not featured, so you know if he does come on, I still got to rate Manchester United, but again, we're going to need to break down a side that's going to be happy to defend quite a bit at home. Two banks of four, Crystal Palace, you know.
I'm ready to go, though. It feels like a game where we need a nice 4-0, so that's what I'm calling. 4-0, Martial gets a brace, Pogba gets his first goal of the season, and Rashford scores.
4-0, sir. You got me 3-0. So yeah, I'm going to say the same thing. I have Rashford on my fantasy team. Rashford hat trick. Why not, sir? He gets a penalty. He takes it. Ole finally clears the air. Rashford's the new penalty taker at Manchester United Football Club. Sir, United in the news. Let's jump into the muppetry that came out this week. Per the Guardian, Manchester United's penalty fiasco puts Solskjaer's leadership in the spotlight. Disagreements in the heat of the moment look bad, and the buck stops with the manager after making excuses for Paul Pogba. Again, everyone's writing about this. Everyone's hitting on Paul P. I actually think at the end of the day, the team will unite around defending Paul Pogba. And maybe this is the moment where Paul Pogba comes out and says, I love Manchester United and I do not want to play for Real Madrid, sir. Maybe. I doubt it.
Keep dreaming.
Next article for the Daily Mail. Jadon Sancho looking to leave Borussia Dortmund. That has perked up my ears. He is the right winger we really need. I know Dan James is a great lad, but if you look at Jadon Sancho, he did the double spin move in the Bundesliga. If you haven't seen the highlight, you should check it out. It's absolutely out of this world. He completely beats like five defenders solo in the middle of the park doing stupid stuff. He is one of the best English players coming up. We like English talent, and we should be buying Jadon Sancho for probably $135 million.
It's going to be more than 100, sir, more than it was this year.
And another player we let go who could have been that right winger, João Felix. He's looking to be an amazing player for Atletico Madrid, and you know they paid top dollar for him, but you know he looked good in red at Manchester United, and we did miss out on him. So these young players, you just got to pay top dollar. Like Jadon's probably going to be 140, and we got to finish the Champions League.
And City's trying to compete for him now, right? Because they let Sané is going to leave. So that's a player that they want to have back in there on their squad. He's an academy lad technically, so he's only going to go up, sir. He's, what, 19 years old, getting better by the day.
And Inter Milan have approached Manchester United and bid to sign Alexis Sanchez. And get this, as part of the bid, we have to pay half of Sanchez's wage. Again, this is kind of like the A-Rod deal with the Texas Rangers and Yankees. Anytime you have to do this, it means you just did some bad business. And it's really unfortunate because coming into this season, we're getting rid of Lukaku. We're not replacing him really. And, you know, you thought there'd be a role for Sanchez in the front three, right? There'd be a role he could play. I mean, he's a good player. Why not get him involved? Something has fallen out. I'm going to say Ole Gunnar Solskjaer does not rate Sanchez, and that is kind of leading to some of this. People say, why do you get rid of Lukaku when you're not going to replace him? My gut is saying Ole Gunnar Solskjaer does not rate him, does not want him to play. So yeah. The board are letting Ole make these types of decisions. At the end of the day, I have to think Alexis Sanchez would help us, but he's got to be a cancer in the dressing room. And Ole's trying to change the culture. So if that's part of it, then we get rid of him. And that's what I'm going to chalk it up to.
I mean, the only reason that they wouldn't want to have him feature when you have to pay and subsidize his wages for him to go elsewhere is if he is a cancer in the dressing room, right? You'd have to assume that he's got to be such a negative influence, just counting so much cash in front of everybody else, just stacks on stacks of cash.
It's probably
every
language
time.
Barrier, your
yeah,
attitude.
There's other
Spanish
speaking players. We got De Gea, we got Mata. There's no excuse for that. It's got to be a bad attitude. So if this deal does happen, I say, see you later. Take your piano with you. And we'll smell you'll never, dude. Another, add you to the list of South America deals that went awry.
I mean, yeah, Di Maria. I mean,
this, wow.
It's almost one of those where, like, Sanchez is by far the worst. All right, fan questions. That's right, this podcast for fans, by fans. Get us your questions in after matches on Twitter. You can add us, DM us, you can email us. We will get your views on the podcast at Charlie_Ferris. Quote, overall good performance, unlucky on the penalty save. It's clear after two games we were lacking quality in the midfield. Shocking, I know, and James is pure speed, but that's about it, right? Also credit Neves on the golazo. So, you know, I kind of said the same thing a little bit, sir. What do you think of this fan take?
I mean, I think we're definitely lacking in midfield. That's a position that we should have strengthened when we had two cells in the last 12 months.
One big tree, one Ander Herrera, you know.
But both are useful. And Andreas Pereira is going to step up and is continuing to step up. But we are definitely lacking there. So I don't know about that. Dan James, I think he's like,
I
if
think
he turns on
lacking
two,
at
he,
number
if
10,
if he turns on number, you know, turbo a little too much, he does tend to lose the ball. But I think he's going to get that under control as he adapts to the speed in the Premier League. It is a step up from the Championship. But he is quality. He's got a lot of potential, and we have to just be patient because he costs £18 million. You know, he wasn't a £75 million signing.
Well, my point on Dan James is you got to give the lad time. Now, is Ole giving the lad time when he's starting him away at Wolves game two of the season? I don't think so. And I think when we bought him, I said, look, he's got pace. He has the raw talent. It's his end product that's going to need work. It's like, what happens when you get into the final third? You got to make a move, beat a man, get the cross in. That's really, if you look at Pereira, he was able to do that. How long has he been coming off the bench for Manchester United? What, 2 years? I mean, Dan James, I think a little too much too soon. Yeah. He's close, but that final product with the pace is what's needed for him to be that difference maker for Manchester United. But
Dan James played better than Jesse Lingard did, so I would rather have James in and then put a Pereira swap for Lingard all day, because James, he still offers you quite a bit by that attacking threat and that speed, because that's more than Jesse did.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying, of all the, if you look at his game, he clearly needs to work on that decision making.
No
at,
doubt.
At EPL pace in the final third. We shall see him grow, and I hope he's a quick learner. Next fan question at Roan United. Quote, this was always going to be the match early that told us the most about ourselves and our improvements. We played better than Wolves, but did not put the game away when the opportunity came, which has been our issue. Pogba taking penalties needs to stop ASAP. Great take, sir.
Well said. I mean, it's so true. We need the penalty resolution ASAP because more penalties are going to come. But it was an improvement from last year. We got that 1 point, right? That was more that could be said from the previous matches. So we must just keep calm, well, carry on,
and
sir.
And it's the ruthlessness when we have that one goal about putting the game away. We all
got to kill them off.
Away games against lower opposition, when we have that one goal, we always let them hang in the game, and they usually get the equalizer. That has happened too many times. We've seen that with this Manchester United squad, and he's absolutely right. We need to be ruthless, put the game away. Next fan take here from Twitter, at Rose with the Thorns, sir. That's with the Thorns, not with the Thorns. Quote, what do you think of Lingard's performance? I can't be the only one that sees he needs to be left out of the squad a few times, sir.
Sir, hear, 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 hear.
Hear, hear,
you have complete agreement from the American Red Devils.
Another sir. Hear,
yeah,
hear,
yeah.
Sir.
Welcome aboard.
Like, I mean, great take. Lingard, everyone's kind of lambasting him. I think he just needs to go on the bench and we need to really get Pereira reps at number 10. Even think about Angel Gomez as well, because
definitely
for Ole, it's just got to be Sir Alex Ferguson, next man up. You play number 10, didn't look good. Next man up, Juan Mata, you get the start. Next man up, Pereira, you get the start. Next man up, Angel Gomez. It's like it's got to go down the list.
Especially we scored 4-0 against Chelsea. I was very surprised to see him dropped. I thought it'd be the exact same starting 11.
That's the one, like I said earlier when we started the pod, that's the one thing I do not understand why Pereira was dropped at 10. I understand James coming in on the right wing. That was the one adjustment I said we had to make, but too much. Pereira looks solid because he does the dirty work when Pogba goes forward. That's the one
he's
thing
a better
I like
tackler.
About him. Yeah.
He runs all over the pitch. He's a better tackler than Jesse Lingard.
Jesse's a sexy option. He should be, right? He's got his own song. He's got the hair. He's got the clothing line.
His own celebration.
He should be scoring curlers. You know, I mean, he looks the part, and he probably does well in training, but when he gets on that game day pitch, he's out.
That muffy hat.
Last comment here at Dave Paz on Twitter. Quote, disappointed not get 3 points, but am dead happy with the way we are progressing as a team. Ole has a vision and it will take time. On a side note, Pogba, stop taking pens.
Oof.
So, I mean, I have to agree. Great. I mean, like for what we thought this summer and what Ole's been able to do with what the board backed him, I'm going to say very encouraging. We have a strong base of a side. One, if you look two transfer windows in the future, I think we're going to be able to get these pieces in, the number 10s, the youth, the speed, the work rate. We're really seeing Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's team. Who knows if it's ready for top four? Who knows if it's ready for top six? I don't know, but I think we're a lot better than what a lot of people think out there that aren't Manchester United fans. I actually do think we're probably in there for three, maybe even two. Liverpool does not look that hot. There's a lot of teams. I think there's going to be more parity this year than anyone can expect. City clearly going to win the league. But I think after City, I think it's going to be a fight. Tottenham, Arsenal, there's going to be a lot of shifting. It's going to be an exciting season.
It is. And I think we have enough firepower to hopefully finish the top four. But this team is going to be tested a lot because every week is now a battle. All of the teams have gotten so much better in the Premier League. So it's all going to be that work rate, bro. That old English style tackling, studs up when necessary when you can get away with it. But hard work, dedication, bro, is going to win the day.
Yeah, and if things, Ole right now, it seems like he can manage the ship. Like, you know, this penalty issue, he kind of said the right thing in the press. Let's hope he can keep a lid on Paul P come January. Keep him motivated in the side. Because clearly, without Paul Pogba, I would see real big deficiencies in Manchester United. If we removed him from the team,
we'll be in trouble.
We would be in a lot of trouble. And that's something that you can't underestimate. When you look at him on the ball, you look at what he does in the middle of the park for Manchester United, he really bosses the game. And we got to keep him at this club. Hopefully this season, I don't think January, we're going to make the move. Let's just try to keep him happy. Got to get the De Gea deal done. I don't know what's going on with that either, but there's a few things that could go wrong for Ole. I just want to make sure that he is given the time. He probably needs at least two seasons to really make his mark on this side, give him another summer transfer window, and really go for it next season. You know, I really think we're close.
Yeah, but he's going to be highly dependent on keeping those two big players, his two best players in De Gea and Paul Pogba. But if you can keep him around, we could be in much better shape to slowly chip up each window, add some sprinkling in of the youth team. You just can't be losing Pogba because he's not going to be adequately replaced by the Glazers at this club.
I mean, you got Declan Rice, you got Jack Grealish.
You need
there's
more
a few
than
guys
that.
You can bring
really,
in.
You need a lot more than that.
All right, sir. It's been a hell of a podcast, and thank you guys, the fans, for listening. That's right. We're in the bunker here. We got our new audio set up. We're literally going through the podcast now. Before, you used to have to edit them. Now we go through with one rip with this audio system. I literally have no idea what I'm doing with this mixing board. if there's audio issues, please bear with us. We're trying to improve it every time. But since it's stored at your house, I don't have access to it. So there is a little learning curve we're doing here with this new setup. So we appreciate you. And if there's anything that you think we can improve on with the audio or the format of our podcast, please let us know. I mean, we're from New Jersey. We got tough skin. We'd love some banter. Throw it at us on Twitter. Hit us with the email, AmericanRedDevils@gmail.com. We're trying to make this show for fans by fans.
We appreciate the bants, but take everything we say with a grain of salt. So if you have any recommendations, things that we can fix, things we can get better, let us know.
And hang in there on the audio. We're going to get better over time. But like, seriously, I have my brother-in-law is getting married this weekend. Next weekend, we're out camping. There's a lot of things going on where I'm traveling. I'm trying to get all this audio gear. I'm learning, reading the manual at night, sir. So we're trying our best to get everything out
there. Give us the benefit
of
the doubt. We appreciate it.
It's been a hell of a, I mean, record downloads across the podcast. So we really appreciate you guys downloading the pod, commenting, tweeting us. It's awesome. We really enjoy doing this. This is going to be a hell of another season. Manchester United never say die. Sir, give us our top cities last 7 days. We got some new ones on the board. Sir, a lot of American flags.
Sir,
here.
It's a freedom forward top 10, and we appreciate freedom. That. Number one, Hotlanta, Georgia. How you doing? How you doing? Number two, San Francisco, California.
Bay Area.
Number three, Bronx, New York. What up, Bronx? And number four, Chicago, Illinois, sir.
Chi-Rack. New Keep York, going, New baby. York. Number five, Dallas, Texas. Number six, number seven, sir, Murfreesboro, Tennessee.
How you
I think
doing?
I got that one right. Number eight, Los Angeles, California. Number nine, first time ever in the top 10, La Terre, France.
La Terre, France.
Something in France. I'm mostly French, so shame on me for not knowing how to pronounce that. Number 10, Indianapolis. Indiana. I think so. And shout out, we have a Canadian flag on the list. We got Oslo, Norway. We're going bonus here.
We're going to a dozen.
The Shire, just because I want to get to Saskatoon, Canada, on the list. We appreciate all you guys for downloading this podcast. Like we said, hit us with the hot banter on Twitter. And again, we are just two guys that created this show, and we have no idea what we're doing. Literally, the audio, I had to figure it out. I didn't go to audio engineering school, sir. I don't have this background in creating media or content. We just love Manchester United, and we don't want anyone to control our opinions or have to pitch you guys things you don't want to hear. So look, we have a website, www.americanreddevils.com. We have some cheeky merchandise. We'll be adding more. If you like this show, grab something. If not, drop a review on iTunes. Goes a long way. Sir, you know what? It isn't 6 from 6. It's 4 from 6, but Wolves away, that's a tough one. Chelsea at home, if you were to tell me I could take 4 points from 6, and the boys would look good, play well, and the manager would be making the right calls, aside from the penalty issue.
Some subs.
You know, aside from those are light.
Little things.
Those are light things. I'm going to say, how good does it feel?
Always at the wheel.